Come on, Drake. Come on, Drake. Come on, Drake.
Wait for that sound.
Blog Talk Radio.
Pick up the volume. Pump up the volume.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Thank you. You good?
Talk sports in full effect.
Time is now. We are just going. I was going to let that run, but then I realized we got to get the show started. Man, welcome to another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. It is on a Thursday. The week is flying by, but we cannot stop. We got to keep it going. We got a lot of things to talk about, and we are here. Of course, today is April. Man, it's not April. It's May the 7th, man. Let's have some fun. I'm your host. I'm Andre Peterson. Got my fellas in the house. I want to always check in with first and foremost with Mr. Rob for you. All right this evening, sir?
Oh, man, doing great, Doc, doing great. I was in the ATL last few days checking on your Hawks, man, you know, trying to make it do what it do.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Did you get on the line, JQ? Make sure you're good. Still have him on hold. I'll have to see if he can call back in, too. So maybe we'll get JQ to call back in as well, and we'll get him started as well. But anyway, that's what we do. We're going to have some fun here, and I'm making sure that our other member, JQ, is good. I think he's okay. He's going to call back in because I had him on hold for a minute. But we'll have him call back in, and we will keep moving. We got a lot of things to talk about. And first and foremost, like I always do, I want to set the stage as far as if you want to reach out to us. First number to call the show, it's 424-243-9519. That's the number if you want to call in. If you definitely want to reach out, give us your thoughts. We're also available on Facebook. JQ, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I was here before. I just
there
came
he
for
is.
Whatever reason.
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, I'm glad. You're good, man. We're just checking in. We're doing a little spill here. We're back, man. So we're going to set the stage as you always do. Once again, if you want to call on the show, you got the number 424-243-9519. We're in the Twitter world at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then finally, guys, we're also on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12manSports, you put in Talking Sports 12 Man, you will definitely find us as well. Fellas, man, how you guys doing? JQ, how you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm still tripping off Shaq yesterday, man. There's nothing like seeing him bust his butt live on TV. I almost hooked my kids up laughing so hard.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Quite.
Classic stuff, man. I love it. Man, what else, man? Everything else is good in your world, though?
Oh, yeah, everything else is good, man. I'm enjoying these playoff series. We finally got four good ones happening, so I'm ecstatic about that.
Yeah, it's
all four series tied up at one. That's pretty incredible right there.
Yeah, so that's what we definitely want to talk about. So let's get these topics started here, guys. We got a lot of things to discuss. Rob, I'm a little disappointed in the show topic, man. I can't believe you threw in there Deflategate, but I guess we got to talk about this crap, man. So,
we got to talk about that.
I know JQ was sending texts and all that fun stuff, too. Speaking of sending texts, man, you know. Let's kind of kick it right off with that. Deflategate, man. And I guess the question that I'd like to ask you guys, man, is this. Are the Patriots smarter than all of us? They just, you know, they're just figuring out loopholes, or are they just, like, legitimately, like, you know, cheaters, man? So, with this thing. So I'm going to kick it off with Rob. What's your thoughts about this, sir, man? Even though I'm not really a fan, I keep talking about this, but what were your thoughts about this, sir?
Well, I think it's slightly blown out of proportion. I don't think it has that big of an outcome on the difference of a football game. I really don't. I will say this. You know, I think Roger Goodell, you can go back 2 years to how I felt about Roger Goodell on some of our shows. And so I won't necessarily get too deep into that. But I will say this. I think he dropped the ball tremendously on a Ray Rice situation. And I don't think the owners punished him for his actions. And I actually personally feel like he has been a lot lenient since he dropped the ball on a Ray Rice situation. So I think his punishment, I You know, even the punishment that he gave the Atlanta Falcons, the punishment that he's been giving the players, and I think even in this situation with the Deflategate, he's not giving out the same punishments that he was giving out a few years ago. And I think it has a lot to do with him, a humbling experience for him for the way he handled the Ray Rice situation, because I do believe he actually dropped the ball on that particular situation. And so I don't know what needs to be done as far as either him handing this these punishments over to someone else. But I also still feel like the NFL, these owners, never came down on Roger Goodell like the way they should have, in my personal opinion. But my personal opinion on the Deflategate is that it's slightly blown out of proportion, too. I mean, you have guys, offensive linemen has been wearing Vaseline on their jerseys for years. You've been having wide receivers wearing stickums on their hands for years, cornerbacks wearing stickums, and they still are. And I think a lot of it's blown out of proportion.
JQ, what are you talking about?
50% of the league is smoking weed.
I can't believe that. I can't believe you, coming from Bountygate, thinks that this blown out of proportion. And let's just start here. They're not.
Well, Bountygate was blown out of proportion.
Yeah, but this is not in a vacuum. They are now repeat offenders at this point. And the fact that Tom Brady wouldn't give over any of his evidence of his phone and his messages, and you got these text messages basically talking about, you know, they're paying the dude off in T-shirts and game tickets and gym shoes, and they're circumventing the rules. I think they have to come down hard on Tom Brady, or it's going to look real, real nasty for Roger Goodell, especially when he's taking pictures with Bob Kraft in the suite, you know, in last year's playoffs. I think he's got to make an example of Tom, because it's clear, it goes to an NCAA kind of rule of lack of institutional control. When you are able to keep getting away with these kinds of things, and like I said, they're a repeat offender, and you're paying a guy off. It doesn't have to be thousands of dollars, but you're circumventing the rules, and you're paying somebody off to circumvent the rules. I mean, how do you not come down hard on that? I think if it was Andy Dalton and the Bengals, he'd already be suspended. So I'm waiting to see what he's going to say there. I'm sorry. I'm a little passionate about this because they keep seeming to get away with things. And, you know, it's in the grand scheme of things, no, it's not the hugest of deals. But when you keep letting the team, you know, bend the rules, and you don't slap them on the wrist and bend the rules, then you got the other teams looking like, wait a minute, man. How is it that, you know, if it was us, you know, we would get hit over the head, but with them, it's like, oh, it's blown out of proportion. It's not blown out of proportion, because how many games have they been doing this for? And you never know. Tom Brady may not have the same accuracy with a higher inflated ball, because, I mean, he clearly likes it at a certain point, and he's going to the point of getting these two guys to do his dirty work for him. So I'm real interested to see. And the fact that they waited till right after the draft to drop this finding, when I'm sure they had this information before the draft, when they could have docked on this. And another
should have took 4 months on this situation.
Exactly. I think they got to come down hard on them. I mean, you know, sometimes you can use that RICO law where the left hand doesn't have to know what the right hand is doing for you, for both of them to get in trouble. So them being repeat offenders and you're paying somebody off to do it, I think they're going to have to hit them.
Yeah. Let me rephrase myself as well. When I say it's being blown out of proportion, I mean the outcome of football games. I don't think it has that big of a difference as far as an outcome of a football game. And so let me just clarify that a little bit too as well.
But my thing is, I don't know if it does. If the ball is inflated properly and he can't complete those passes, can they get up on him and then just run the ball in the second half and put the team away? Will it make the game more competitive? It affects the checks and balances, affects the adjustments that each team would have to make. So I'm not as easy to dismiss the outcome of it. It may not be the greatest, but it could be. But the fact that they're repeat offenders and he wouldn't turn over his evidence, and you have all these texts from these other two guys, what does Tom Brady have to hide by not turning over his phone? That to me is almost an admission admission of guilt by not giving that up. So I like I said, I'm real interested to see what they come back with, and I know the other teams are as well. They got to be.
Repeat offender. This is what I'm going to say about this, and JQ is coming hard. Man, I appreciate that. This is what I was going to say, man. I'm kind of like, yeah.
Oh, now the truth comes out.
Oh, he really does not like time. Let me talk about a couple of things here. The first thing I want to talk about regarding that is, to your point, Rob, how it not affecting games. So if it's uninflated, there was a stat that said that the Patriots had the fewest amount of fumbles over the last, I want to say, 8 years, you know, whenever they first rolled out this rule. So basically that tells you that if the ball is less inflated, the running backs that they're giving the ball to, it does give them a slight advantage. You know, I don't know if you want to put it out there and, you know, whatever, but that is a huge advantage, man. So, you know, they did like this whole thing as far as the league average, and, yeah, the Patriots running backs have the fewest amount of fumbles over that span. So, yeah, what's up with that? You know what I'm saying? So that's not a good thing. I agree with you, JQ, in that, you know, definitely there's something to hide. But on the flip side, notice that he didn't really say anything that was 100% condemning. All he said was there's something wrong with the ball. You know, he said something to the fact that, you know, I want the balls a certain way. You know, basically, you know, underinflate. He didn't say anything like underinflate the ball. He said I like my balls a certain way, and which is kind of interesting too. So, you know, he didn't really come out and say that, but it's too many circumstantial evidence. I know how Robert loves Roger Goodell, but you know, this dude is just it's terrible, man. I agree, man. The Patriots should have been punished, but you know, Robert Kraft has got him in his back pocket, man. So it's just a gross power, man. So this dude is terrible, man. So anyway, that's my little soapbox about that issue as well, too.
Yeah.
So,
and to your piece about it, Ben Jarvis,
well, what should the punishment be?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got to be 4 to 6 games for Brady. Got to be. Got to be. And my thing
is,
two guys. And I wouldn't be mad at the whole season because I looked at what they did to Sean Payton and Greg Williams, and I think if you're going to
do that, season.
You're going to set that threshold, wow. And you're going to set that threshold for them for Bounty Gate with that. What Sean Payton said, I didn't know they were doing that, and he said, "Well, this is your team, so you're supposed to know." And he got a season for it. How do you not get up to Tom Brady? And you're talking about the two guys whose lives are to make sure that those players get exactly what they want. They get the exact snacks that they need, the exact time of day. They get their cars parked where they want them parked. They get their clothes pressed the way they want them pressed. You mean to tell me they know exactly the way he wants that ball without Tom Brady telling them? I don't believe that at all. And to your point about the fumbling, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis never fumbled for New England. He came to Cincinnati and fumbled like 5 times in his first season. So your point is very valid because I got to witness the first game. So if you're going to do that for New Orleans, I don't know how you don't do that for New England. Again, they're a repeat offender.
Rod,
well, and that's the thing I have a problem with the whole Roger Goodell situation. He made the comment about Sean Payton should know what's going on in his locker room, even though he had nothing to do with the so-called Bounty Gate. Sean Payton still got suspended for it, and then came back around to the Ray Rice situation. You know, Roger Goodell claims he didn't know a video of the Ray Rice situation existed. So he didn't hold himself accountable in the same situation. Now they're saying the situation with the Patriots, now they're saying, okay, ownership and Bill Belichick did not know about the Flake Gate. Okay, so you said Sean Payton didn't know about the so-called Bounty Gate, and he got suspended for a year, but they're waiving any fines or suspension on ownership and Bill Belichick for saying they didn't know anything about it. Same thing with Arthur Blank with the Atlanta Falcons. He didn't say he didn't know anything about the situation with the crowd noise, but it's the same situation, and there's no consistency here with Roger Goodell in the situation.
Exactly.
Wow, JQ is really passionate about this. Man, I didn't expect that. That's okay. At the end of the line, guys, to kind of wrap this up, I do kind of think it is kind of silly, though, in the interim, because you would think that the NFL would already have this figured out, right? If they would, it's almost like they're getting egg on the face once again, because you would think that it's a simple fix. Hey, referees, just check the balls, make sure they're good to go. And that's going to happen, obviously, come to the coming season. So that's what I think is kind of silly at the end of the day. But, you know, like I said, I'm curious to see if Roger Goodell does actually punish his favorite team, man. And it better be something substantial, you know, draft picks, something. I mean, not like a little stupid fine, man. I really want them to kind of hurt the Patriots because them jokers, man, they always have smoking guns, man. So everyone kind of hates them too. So anyway, that's my little 2 cents on that too, man. So I'm sick of that, man. But it's just really, really frustrating. let's kind of move on to Lael Collins. He actually gets signed with the Cowboys. This was an interesting story, man, because fellas, you had a guy that he was definitely a top 15, top 20 pick in the draft, or talent, if you will, and he ends up getting undrafted due to some, you know, the suspicion of his girlfriend getting murdered in Baton Rouge. I'll talk to Robert because this is in your backyard, Rob. Was this – why did he go with the Cowboys? Was that something he just wanted to play for the Cowboys, Rob, or just kind of Jerry had it in? I mean, he was crying at his press conference, man. I mean, man, how did he end up getting signed with the Cowboys, Rob?
Well, first of all, I think it's very unfortunate what happened with this situation, and it's coming out now that he's being pretty much cleared from any wrongdoings in this particular situation. It cost him a first-round draft pick, and it cost him a lot of money. You're talking about bad timing here. This is a guy I had as the 19th best player in the draft, surefire first-round pick, and now it's coming out that he's cleared of any wrongdoing. The child is not his. He wasn't even in the same city when the murder happened, of course. And it cost him a first-round draft pick. It's very unfortunate here. But to answer your question in regards to the Cowboys, obviously Jerry Jones laid out the red carpet for him in this situation. This is like getting another first-round pick for the Cowboys. All 32 teams showed some interest in him. Jerry Jones sold the fact that they can have the best offensive line in the league, and they certainly can, too. Lael Collins can come in from day one and start at left guard or right tackle for the Cowboys. So, I mean, he can start from day one for just about any team in the National Football League, and now you just make this offensive line even better. That's going to be scary, trying to rush the passer or even stop the run, regardless of who's running the football. For the Dallas Cowboys. So that was a selling. Obviously, Jerry Jones came out with a great sales pitch, and he was able to get Lael Collins to come to Dallas.
JQ, go ahead. What are your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, he can go to a team, and I feel for him because it cost him a lot of money, and also the prestige of being a first-round pick when you haven't done anything wrong. But you can go to a team that you don't have to go in and be the savior. They already have a well-established offensive line at this point. You can slide into that one of those guard positions, like Rob said. And let's not discount the fact that the proximity, right? He probably has a lot of family still in the Louisiana area. And, you know, going to Dallas is not as close as Houston, but it still keeps him in that neck of the woods, so to speak. And I think that's probably a strong selling point for him, too. Plus, you know, Jerry Jones is the ultimate businessman, always be closing. So, you know, the combination of all that, I think, is what led him to that point. And I think that's a good choice for him. But the Cowboys, getting him and Gregory, you know, at those discount prices, that's a fabulous job by Jerry Jones, the GM. We knock him a lot for doing stupid GM things, but this is actually a home run.
I got to tell you, man, ever since Jerry passed on Randy Moss, he has been taking any player with talent, man. So he's trying to dock
right.
Just win, baby.
You don't want to make that mistake again.
It feels like he's just like, anyone that's got talent, I'm taking it. I don't care. So that's kind of what I think whenever I see that scenario. I'm telling you, man, ever since he got burned by Randy Moss, he is going, you know, to the wall, man. Balls to the wall, man. So that's for you, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But no. That's a good call. That's a good call, guys. Let's keep moving here, guys. Let's talk about that. I do want to talk about some five NFL QBs that are facing make or break seasons. And we are going to do a quick recap on the NFL draft. And that was a great weekend, man. We had NBA basketball. We had the Pacquiao fight. We had the draft, man. I mean, Kentucky Derby. Man, what a great weekend, man. A lot of things going on, too. So we may not get a chance to talk about all that. But I like this, Rob. But we're going to kind of tag it to the five QBs that are going to have make or break seasons. And let's talk about a quick recap for the draft because I got to tell you guys, I'm kind of so excited to talk draft talk because – I got to give you guys a lot of props, man, because a lot of things happened that I didn't expect. Like, I thought for sure that Mariota was going to go to the Eagles somehow, but they stayed put. You know,
you thought Kelly was
going to
trade his left nut, too.
Man, I did think that, man. But I think that they wanted his left nut and his right nut, and he didn't want to part with that. But, I think there was a good quote from Chip Kelly because he basically said that the asking price was just too steep. He's like, he used the example. He's like, I was in the car, and the asking price was just too high. We didn't get out of the car. You know, I guess they drove in the driveway. The house was too expensive. They didn't get out of the car. So I guess that Tennessee made it definitely known that they wanted to draft Mariota, which was interesting. But yeah, anyway, smokescreen. Wow, you know, yeah, either or, but I love it. Wow, Bruce, we got about 10 minutes here. You want to talk about some the five NFL QBs that are going to have make or break seasons, real quick, and we'll talk about the draft here for a quick recap, if you will.
Yeah, my five QBs I think are facing make or break season going into next season. I'm going to start with the quarterback in San Francisco, Kaepernick. And
wow.
I think he has regressed
yes,
a little bit here in the last year and a half or so. And so it's going to be an interesting situation to watch, even though he's just got this big new contract. And so I think he's one to watch. Your quarterback, JQ, I think Andy Dalton, I think I think he's going to make a break season. It's, can he win the playoffs? Can he get it done in big games? And so that's going to be one to watch. Jay Cutler seems to be on this list every year, so I got him on the list again. He's got a new head coach who's going to try to improve that defense. He's going to try to take a little bit of pressure off of Jay Cutler. And so, but I think this is a make or break season for him. The Jets, Geno Smith. I think we're going to see if he can take that next step, or if he's still on par the way he performed last year, or is he going to regress? I think the Jets will find out which direction he's heading this coming up season as well. And also Sam Bradford. He's been injured every season. Can he stay healthy? Can he do something with the Philadelphia Eagles? I think this is definitely, you know, I don't mean this, you know, obviously when you say make or break with Sam Bradford, you know, you don't want to break to the bone. But you know, it's definitely a make or break season for him. And,
of course,
I don't know
Sam
if you guys have any others y'all want to add to that list.
I do.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
And just to piggyback real fast, I had those guys too, and Dalton and Kaepernick now are, I think, are both out of their guaranteed money on their deals. So now their deals basically become one-year deals to prove it, and they can be cut without the team having too much dead money on the cap. So definitely those two. I want to add, of course, RG3 to that mix. They picked up his fifth-year option, but
nice.
I think this is definitely make or break for him in Washington. He, you know, he had a strong rookie season, but he's definitely regressed, and he's got to stay healthy and prove his worth. And one more, I think Ryan Tannehill in Miami has to be on the make or break list because they're trying to give him some weapons now, and Miami's under pressure now with the big signing of Ndamukong Suh and trying to build up that defense. He's got to come through and get Miami into the playoffs, I think. For him, for they start to look around a little bit for another quarterback. So I have those, but I have all the same ones that Rod mentioned as well.
I'm going to go a little different, fellas. I'm going to go with a surprise here. I'm going to go with Philip Rivers, man. What's up with Philip Rivers, man? He's been doing a lot of stuff right now. You know, what's going to happen with him, man? He's got to get them over the hump, man. So that's just me. I also, believe it or not, want to throw out, who's the quarterback for the Bills, man? Is it E.J. Manuel or – Who's the guy? So
every quarterback
man
on their roster is a make or break season.
Yeah, I'm trying to say that.
The
whole depth chart.
See, who's gonna be the guy? You know, like you said, I agree with you both guys as far as the Eagles QB. I don't think Sam Bradford's gonna last the season, man. You know, so you know, but we'll keep an eye on him in that scenario as well. Also, wholeheartedly agree. Let's see here. I know about Geno Smith. Yeah, that's definitely something. You know, Geno, man, poor guy, man. He just, you know, going through that. And my favorite whipping boy,
right.
Jay Cutler. Yeah, Jay Cutler, man. He's like a pretty girl that just that's missing something, man. He just teases you all the time. So he's got all the tools, man, but he just can't seem to put it together, man. I know all the all the Bears fans are like, we got our quarterback, and I'm like, yeah, maybe not. And then he's actually proving them wrong. So. I don't know how many offenses you can throw at that guy. I know if the Bears deep down in their heart they wanted to get rid of him, they probably would.
They
own
too much money.
But,
they can't get rid
of that contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of stuck. So you're going to hopefully surround him with other things or maybe give him a running game. And I don't know what to say about that dude, man. Hopefully he'll kind of like fade his way out to the league, man. But anyway, that's a little too soon.
He's got a running game. That forte is good.
You know what? I think though Mark Trestman really wanted to throw the ball more though, and that definitely didn't feed into his strengths, man. You know, so it just you keep you know anytime that Jay Cutler would drop back, you're like, man, you know, if you have a strong running game, he was getting sacked so much too, and their defense wasn't good. It was just a recipe for disaster, man. So if you make Jay Cutler win the game for you, he's not going to win the game for you ultimately.
No, he's Jeff George.
I don't trust him. Like, I don't trust Bob Stoops, but that's a whole other conversation. But anyway.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
I'm just saying. Let's keep moving here. Let's do the NFL draft recap, guys. And I'm just going to let you guys have a moment to talk about your teams. We've got about 5 minutes here. Are you guys excited about what happened with your team? And this is kind of a moment you guys can, you know, give a minute to whatever. And JQ, are you excited about what happened? Kind of highlight your team. And like
no.
I said, I'm really funny about – yeah. Oh, go ahead, JQ. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I was texting you guys during it. You know, you get so hyped up and ready for the draft, and then your team takes back-to-back tackles. I mean, I understand it to a point when you have your tackles going into a contract year, but you can also address that next year, get one this year maybe and one next year. But back-to-back tackles when you need an improved pass rush, when your best linebacker just had microfracture surgery in the offseason. I mean, to me, if they had to win defense, or trade it back and at least recouped another third, fourth, fifth-round pick, you know, if the defensive player you wanted wasn't there, that to me makes more sense. But, you know, you basically redshirting your first and your second round pick, and, you know, you're not that close to a Super Bowl to where you can afford to do that, in my opinion. So I don't really like it. I like them picking up Dawson, the TCU linebacker in the fourth round. That was decent. But then they went and picked up two developmental tight ends, you know, not even one surefire. And you let Bud Dupree go to Pittsburgh right behind you. You need a defensive end. You let Sammy Coates go to Pittsburgh right behind you. You need another wide receiver. So I was totally underwhelmed with the Bengals draft.
Man, JQ, all right. Man, what about doubling down, man? You don't believe in doubling down for extra depth or anything like that, sir? You don't believe in
but
that,
but not the
man?
Red shirt. I don't believe in red shirting your first and second round picks. These are guys you need to come in and make an impact. And they're basically saying, you know, if they get on the field, that'd be great. But, you know, we're doing it for another year down the line. I don't feel like you have that luxury right now.
Wow. All right. Well, like I said, hopefully this is Marvin Lewis's last year, man. I know how much of a fan you are, Jake.
Yeah.
Fan, man.
Yes, Lord, please help me.
Man, well, so JQ was not happy. If you would give your team a grade, a draft grade, what would you say for that, JQ?
I would give them a C-.
C-? Okay. That's not that bad. I thought you were going to give them an F, but okay.
He's right. Not drinking the Kool-Aid, okay. I'll tell you that.
No, I'm not.
Rob Ford, we're going to let you – we've got about 2 minutes and 42 seconds. We're going to let you do your thing, and then I'm going to kind of wrap it up, and we'll wrap up the show. But go ahead, sir. Are you happy with what your Saints did?
I want to – before I get into talking about the Saints, I'm you know, just talk about briefly with the Marcus Mariota situation. You talked about – you thought for sure the Eagles was going to get him. You know, one thing I mentioned on the show last week, the Titans did not want to go anywhere below 16 to 17, and the Eagles just could not pull that off. They would have to get a third team into the mix to try to pull off that trade, and it just didn't work out. But definitely the Eagles were definitely trying to see if they can move up and get the pick. They just didn't have enough ammunition, and Tennessee did not want to drop all the way to 20. So that was the deal breaker when it came to that. And real quick, in regards to the Saints, I was actually very pleased with the Saints draft. They got 9 picks. I thought they got tremendous value on their picks from the third round on as well, in addition to the picks that they got in the first and second round. Getting Garrett Grayson in the third round as a quarterback out of second round grade on. P.J. Williams, cornerback, they got him in the third. Another guy had a second round grade on. Davis Tall, they got him in the fifth round. I had a third round grade on him. And so they got some great value picks, especially from the third round all the way through the seventh round as well. In addition to getting Haole Kakahi from Washington, who led the nation in sacks last year. And getting him in the second round too as well. And so I was very pleased with the Saints draft pick. And we'll get a little bit more into the draft and OT. I have a lot more teams I want to highlight in the draft. We can get in that to the OT portion. And so you all may want to tune in tomorrow to listen to this OT portion. You just might hear some great news about your team's draft based on the grades that I have for these teams. So stay tuned for that. Tune into the same link on tomorrow, and you can hear those draft notes. And once again, next week I'm looking at Wednesday night. Hopefully that works for everyone. Wednesday night, so join us live at 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss us on next week. We'll be getting heavy into the NBA playoffs. And now that the NFL draft is over, maybe even start tapping into the NBA draft a little bit. So stay tuned, people. Good night.
Good night, people.
Good night, America.
Right, we are. Yeah, good job, JQ. I like it, man. That'll be your sign-off. We're officially the OT portion, and I'm going to give you some time, Rob, to talk about your grades here. I'm going to talk about my Falcons. I know that initially whenever I was first thinking about what had happened, I literally was a little nervous because I thought best player available. But I'm warming up to the draft because I think it was a need for us to get, you know, Vic Beasley. I was a little hurt whenever Todd Gurley goes to the Rams at 10, so you know, we'll come back around as far as that. Jalen Collins, good stuff. As a Falcon fan, probably one of the best drafts because we felt like every pick was calculated. It actually made sense. Moving up to pick up Grady Jarrett was a steal. We got a wide receiver, Justin Harding, to replace Harry Douglas, and you kind of added some more depth in the end, you know, with that too. Rob, I'm going to ask you a quick question real quick if you don't mind. The difference between Jalen Collins and Morris Claiborne, in your opinion, because Morris Claiborne has not panned out with the Cowboys. He's kind of a similar corner. So what are your thoughts about that, and how come Morris hasn't been successful? And do you think Jalen could be a little bit more successful in the NFL, being from LSU?
Well, I will say Morris Claiborne coming into the draft was a much better athlete, very fluid. Still very surprising he has not turned out to be the player that, you know, most people thought he would be. And I'm not, you know, some people just don't make the transition very well, and I guess he just hasn't. But as far as athletic ability, I mean, Morris Claiborne had it all. He had speed. He had the size. He was able to turn his hips and run upfield extremely well. And still very surprising that he has not been the player that most experts thought he would be. So definitely coming out of college, better player than Collins. Collins, I may give him the advantage, a little bit more physical. I think Collins could play on the outside corner as well as the slot. I think you can probably even line him up at safety a little bit as well. Now, Collins is also a late bloomer as well. He only started 10 games in his college career, and so he just came on strong, did a tremendous job on Amari Cooper, practically shut him down in a game against Alabama, better than any other corner you've seen in college football this past few years against Amari Cooper as well.
Good deal. All right, we're going to get some JQ, stay tuned, sir. We'll get you in there too as well. I'm going to do a quick recap here. We're going to talk about this. I'll let Rob do that. I got to tell you, one thing I do want to talk about, I think that Shane Ray must have had something with Denver. He basically, you know, was like, I better draft me so I can be to Denver to actually have some free weed or something like that. That's just me. I'm just saying, that's why they traded up.
Everybody,
man, had pitchers because I don't know how that guy got drafted so high. And no, I'm joking. Rob, go ahead and do your NFL draft recap. I know you had a couple things to talk about, sir.
I'm going to try to get through this quickly. I got a lot of notes here real quick. First, I'm going to piggyback on your Atlanta Falcons. I gave them an excellent grade, actually an A+, as hard as it is for me to say that, of course, being a Saints fan. But I'm very objective
Joker.
When it comes to I'm very objective when I come to my notes and everything. So I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I gave the Atlanta Falcons a tremendous grade. I think the Washington Redskins did them a favor by taking Brandon Treff at number 5 and able to get Vic Beasley to drop to you at number 8. I think Vic Beasley had the quickest first step of anybody in the draft when it comes to pass rushing ability. Getting Jalen Collins at 42, I had him ranked somewhere around 35, so I think that's a little bit of a steal getting him where you got him. Tevin Campbell in the 3rd round, I had a 2nd round grade on him. You get him in the 3rd. Justin Hardy, another solid pick, rangy receiver. I think that's somewhat of a steal in the 4th round. And Grady Jarrett in the 5th round I think is a big steal as well. I actually, if you look at my 3rd round mock draft, I actually had the Falcons taking Grady Jarrett in the 3rd round. And wound up going to the Falcons in the 5th round. So I think that's a good pick. I think the Falcons got a good value with all 5 of those picks in the first 5 rounds. Another team that didn't have a lot of draft picks in this draft, but I like 2 of their picks, is the Buffalo Bills, getting Ronald Darby at 50. I think it was a tremendous steal. I thought he was a high 2nd round grade. And the wide receiver, Des Lewis, they got him in the 7th round. This is a wide receiver I like tremendously from Central Arkansas. He's about 6'4", good size. I think he can be another Marcus Colson type, but still in the 7th round from a small school. And I really like that pick for the Buffalo Bills. I think he'll be a sleeper. And JQ, I know you're giving your Bengals a hard time, but I actually like the Bengals draft. And other than the first round pick, Cedric Abui, I thought that was somewhat of a reach with him coming off a torn ACL, but he's got tremendous athletic ability. If he recovers from that well, he could definitely be a steal in a couple of years, but he could have been the guy you could have gotten in the second round. Jake Fisher, loved the pick in the second round as well. I'm just talking pure value here, not necessarily talking about positions. But as far as where they're graded, Paul Dawson, another guy who I think was a second-round grade. You get him in the third round. Josh Shaw has got tremendous athletic ability as a cornerback from USC. I think, you know, he's got some off-the-field issues, but as far as pure talent, you can get him on the right path there. I think you got a good pick. Defensive tackle Marcus Hardison, another steal for the Bengals, getting him where you got him as well in the fifth round from Arizona State. Darren Smith, safety from Fresno State, another guy had a third-round grade on. I think there's somewhat of a steal. I think he got some players that's going to improve that depth in Cincinnati. I think they had great value picks other than their first-round pick. I think they did really well. Cleveland, I like their draft as well, getting Danny Shelton in the first round. Dale Johnson, I like that third-round pick. Xavier Cooper, defensive tackle from Washington State, another steal in the third. Getting Ifeoy Prikmi-Alumo from Oregon in the seventh round, I think it was a steal. If it wasn't for the injury, he could have easily been a first-round pick. So I think that was a great value pick for Cleveland. And Ibrahim Campbell, getting him in the fourth round. I like Houston's draft, getting Kevin Johnson, Bernardrick McKinney, Jalen Strong, I think wide receiver, getting him in the third round. I had a high second-round grade on him. He's got good hands, good speed. Very surprised that he lasted all the way into the third round. I like some of Jacksonville's picks as well. I even like their mid-round picks. A.J. Kane, guard from South Carolina, James Sample, safety from Louisville, Rashard Green, wide receiver from Florida State. They got some good value in their middle of the draft as well as their early picks. I like what Miami did, Devontae Parker, getting him in the first round. Jordan Phillips, I think, is an underrated nose tackle, getting him in the second round, and getting Jameel Douglas, offensive guard from Arizona State, in the fourth round was somewhat of a steal, too. And the Vikings, I like what they did, getting Eric Kendricks in the second round. Danielle Hunter from LSU has got tremendous athletic ability. I think a little bit more coaching, he can be a sleeper in his draft. Getting T.J. Clements in the fourth round, offensive tackle, he can probably start day one at right tackle. So I thought that was a steal, getting him in the fourth round. I know JQ's favorite team, the Patriots. I give them some prop in the draft, getting Malcolm Brown at 32. I think he could have been the earlier first-round pick. Trey Flowers, defensive end from Arkansas, pass rusher, I think he'll come in as a pass rush situation, getting him in the fourth round. Getting Trey Jackson, I think he's an offensive guard that can start from day one, and you get him in the fourth round. We already talked about my Saints. I'll pass over that. The other two teams I thought did really well was the Giants and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Giants getting Landon Collins in the early part of the second round, I think it was a steal. And getting Ode Hizumi, defensive end from UCLA, I think is another tremendous athlete. Gives them another tremendous athletic pass rusher. Getting him in the third round, I thought was a steal. And last but not least, I like the Steelers draft, getting Bud Dupree at 22. Bud Dupree has got all the athleticism in the world. He's got the size. His film didn't quite match up with his athletic ability, so that's one of the concerns why he dropped to number 22. But with the right coaching, with his size and athletic ability, the Steelers might have a player there. Getting Sammy Coates in the third round, I thought was a steal. And JQ should know about Dorian Grant, cornerback from Ohio State. Getting him in the fourth round, I thought was a steal. And getting Jesse James, tight end from Penn State, in the fifth round, I thought he was a third-round player, and getting him in the fifth round. So those are some teams I just wanted to highlight, and that I thought had some decent drafts.
Dang, Rob. Man, take the whole team, man.
There you go.
You, sir. I'm going to let JQ talk and let him have that whole time, sir. I do want to mention, I thought the Jets got a steal in getting Leonard Williams, man. That was unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely.
He was sitting there at six. They had a pretty good draft, man. So that was one.
I thought the Jets reached on. Only reason I didn't mention them, I thought they reached on just about every one of the other picks except for Bryce Petty in the fourth round. I thought they got good value getting him in the fourth round. But other than those two picks, I thought the Jets reached too much on a lot of the other picks. That's why I didn't highlight them in the draft.
I don't know. I think Devin Smith was – I think Devin Smith had, was getting a late first and an early second round grade. So I like that Devin Smith pick for the Jets. I was going to mention the Jets as well. But outside of that, I mean, the reason why I disagree with the Bengals is that you need to brush the passer, and signing Michael Johnson doesn't solve all your ills. Like you said, Bud Dupree goes to Pittsburgh, the pick right after it, and I like that pick for Pittsburgh, even though I hate Pittsburgh. And then you need another wide receiver to stretch the field, and you have Sammy Coates there, and you take a development of tight end, and you let Sammy Coates go to Pittsburgh. So instead of having those two players to torment Pittsburgh with, now you have to defend them twice a year. So that's wow. That's part of the reason why I have such a lower grade on the Bengals draft. Not that, you know, they can't have good value for the guys they picked. I like the middle of their draft, but at the beginning, to redshirt two guys when you have other needs, a wide receiver and defensive end, and you've got two guys sitting there with high grades, and you don't take them, I don't understand that. So, but the other ones I can't cope with. Those are a lot of same teams that I had good grades for too.
You can't just finish it in one draft, JQ. You gotta look for next year too, man. But I got you.
Man, listen,
wow.
But you're killing me.
They definitely got a lot of depth at offensive tackle now. I tell you that.
but you can only start two offensive tackles.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Unless you like the Saints and you put three of them in the game at the same time.
Yeah, but that's a goal line jumbo package. You're not going to do that on your 25 yard line when you're trying to drive. So,
unless you try to be like Bill Belichick, trying to stick him on the field and make him catch passes, man. So I don't know. Anyway,
right.
We got about 4 minutes, guys. Let's talk about really quickly Mayweather Pacquiao. Mayweather said Pacquiao is a coward, no rematch. I think Mayweather is a coward because he's not doing that, but he's already made his money. That's me. You know, walk away to the sunset, whatever you can do. Yeah, 30 seconds, guys. We're talking about that. JQ, anything you want to say about that real quick?
Well, what's killing me about these people saying all this fight sucks, it's like, have you ever seen a Mayweather fight? I mean, that's a typical Mayweather fight. He is a counterpuncher and a defensive specialist. You got exactly what you were going to get from him. The only way he was going to get involved in the brawl is if Pacquiao was able to force the issue, which he wasn't able to do. So you got a typical Mayweather fight. So to me, I like Floyd's in-ring ability. He's smart. He knows how to get out the way. He knows the goal is to hit and not be hit, and he's the master of that. So you might want to see, you know, a Hearns, Hagler, slugfest, but you're not going to get that with Mayweather. That's just not the kind of fight that he has. So if that's what you're expecting, you wasted $100.
Rob?
Well, yeah, he's a strategic boxer. And, you know, I always say, you know, boxing is totally different from fighting, you know, in one sense, you know. And so he's a strategic boxer. And that's why he's been so successful with his career.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, guys, that's why you miss those heavyweight fights, because I think the heavyweight fights, it's definitely more of a slugfest. You mentioned that as well, JQ, because, you know, the welterweight, you know, we had this huge stage, and yeah, I'm sure people were expecting certain things, but, you know, it's not a heavyweight match. Heavyweights, man, you know they're going to be going back and forth at it, man. It's going to be, you know, that's how it is, man. So, anyway, I agree with you. Just you got to know what the fight is. It was hyped up. I'm disappointed that Pacquiao, shoulder was a little hurt, man. You know, he didn't get a chance to really do what he had to do. But, you know, credit to Mayweather because he's the best at being defensive. So there you go. I guess we'll go ahead and wrap this up, guys, because we officially got about 2 minutes, and I don't want the call to cut off again. So, Rob, you want to stay for next week as always? Always.
So once again, we're going to be on the air, Block Talk, talking sports with the 12th man. We're going to be back on Wednesday night next week, 11 p.m. Central. I'm sorry, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's 5 p.m. in Hawaii. I definitely want to join us next week. We'll probably be getting more and more into the NBA playoffs. We got some great second round series going, so we would definitely be touching bases on those issues and any other news that may be breaking over the next week or so. So definitely join us on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Hawks got in the first round, JQ. Woo woo. Sorry.
Yeah. Down Wall injury looked like he's going to help y'all too.
I was going to say, about that Blake Griffin? He's been a man in that Houston series.
Ooh, man. I gave them no chance with Chris Paul hurt, man. He proving me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing to see that game, man. Bill Bulls and Cavaliers, you know, LeBron stepping up. So we'll see, man. It's going to be exciting, man. We're excited about that, too, as well. Fellas, good show. We'll talk to you soon, guys, okay?
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Good night, brothers.